Press play.
Curtain up and now we're in.
It's time to take a spin.
With shade and tea to spill.
Ooh, drama. Oh, that's a tweet. Did they book? Who got nominated?
They option no.
Oh, I'm not well. What star will we talk to today?
Oh, that's a gag, honey. Say no more.
Drama.
Drama. Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater, pop culture, love, and life in New York City. I am Connor McDowell.
And I'm Dylan McDowell. I am so excited that we're back again. This guest we have wanted since it was on our list of like, who do we want to talk to? Like when we made this list like 2 years ago, and today's guest was on the list.
You know what though? I have to say something. This is some behind the scenes. I'm giving everyone a peek behind the curtain.
A little BTS. Okay.
Okay. This is rude. But not really. But we have like an A-list list and then like everyone else that we also love, but we're like, these are people that are probably going to be tougher to get. This guest was someone that was on our A-list list that we were like, I don't know how we'll be able to get her.
I know.
So I'm kind of like realizing this in the moment. I'm like freaking out. But anyway,
I know.
Before we get into that, we haven't recorded in like 2 weeks and we've done so many different things. Mm-hmm. And Dylan, I know you really wanted to talk about something wild that we did.
I know, you're hesitant to talk about this, but some movie theaters have reopened with some movies, and there's the controversy of like, should people go, should people not, people shaming people for going and whatnot. But what I will say is, as we're in Cleveland and things are very different, you know, as we relocated for the time out of the city, we went to the movies.
We did it.
Saw Tenet.
Yeah, the Christopher Nolan.
It was mind-blowing, and I hope that everyone gets the chance to see it, especially people in cities where going to the movies might not be an option or might feel a little bit more dangerous or, you know, because there was, like, literally no one in the theater when we went. It was,
not
like, a ghost
soul.
Town.
And they put, like, 6 seats between you and whomever can book, you know, the next – but there weren't even people there. Like, it was honestly crazy. It was weird.
You had to wear a mask the whole time, unless you were eating or drinking. And if you had your mask off, I saw workers walking up and down the aisles to like monitor. So yeah. They're taking precautions.
That was mildly distracting, I have to say.
I was like, my like resting face when I'm watching a movie is probably hideous, like all scrunched up in the side of the chair. So it's like, get away.
Literally.
At least the mask would cover it. But the movie was phenomenal. And I hope that, like I said, more people get the chance to see it. It's very Tenet. It's very Christopher Nolan, like confusing.
Listen, I have a confession to make that I've made to only a few close friends, and now my dear listeners, who are also just a few close friends, I'm just kidding. I have never in my life been attracted to Robert Pattinson until this very day. He is hot in this movie. I cannot describe it. I think it's that he feels like a man now, and he's not like a sickly, pale... Our editor, Maggie, is like truly going to kill us. She's such a Twilight fan. But he is so hot in this movie. Oh my God. Like, I can't
Thoughts
even describe
prayers
it.
To you, Connor. Thoughts and prayers. That's
I know. What's wrong with me? Every week, I'm like, something shocking has occurred, and it's usually a new love interest. Anyway.
The whole cast is phenomenal, and it's a great movie. But, okay, I think we need to bring in our guest, because she's been smiling, and I just want to jump into things. I want to jump into it.
Dylan, I would love for you, I'm going to give you a gift
okay.
to read the introduction.
You're going to let me do it.
Usually you do anyway, so for it.
Here we go. Our guest today skyrocketed to icon status when she originated the role of Gloria Estefan in the Broadway musical On Your Feet, which she created in the Chicago premiere of the show after being selected by the Estefans themselves in a national casting search. For her acclaimed portrayal of Gloria, she was named one of the Hollywood Reporter's top Broadway breakout stars of the year. She won a Theater World Award and was nominated for the Outer Critics Circle Award, Drama League Award, and Astaire Awards. Are you gagged? Because I am. She was also honored by the National Hispanic Foundation for the Arts for trailblazing Latina representation in entertainment. And if you own a television, you've absolutely seen our gorgeous guest as Dr. Valentina Castro on New Amsterdam, Diana Barea on Sunnyside, very AOC vibes, by the way, as well as Rizzoli and Isles, Max Steele, Mozart in the Jungle, South Beach, Los Americans, and so much more. On stage, our guest has soared as Nina Rosario in the Kennedy Center production of In the Heights, which we saw and loved, Collective Rage, A Play in Five Bettys, the all-female 12 Angry Men, and more. She is a star who only continues to shine and rise. Please welcome to drama, Anna Viafania.
Oh, I want to start every day with that introduction and be like, bitch, remember who you are.
People should know your name.
Welcome. We're so happy to have you.
Oh, thank you. I'm so happy to like be here. It's such a nice little jolt of energy.
I know, early. We're waking you up today with this, but I will say Anna signed on and I was mad because she looks absolutely gorgeous. Like, I woke up like this should be like reinvented with her in mind.
Yoga. I did my hair last night because I was like, I'm going to at least like look like a person.
It's great. Well, before we jump in anything, I have to ask you, are you well? Are you doing well?
You know what? I am. I think it's ebbs and flows. I think that the perspective of staying really grateful for being healthy and for my family being healthy and for like my loved ones being healthy is like number one. You know, there's been a lot of grieving and a lot of like figuring things out, loss of, you know, it started as like that feeling of losing your identity due to loss of work, which was weird, especially for somebody. I'm kind of a workaholic and like that tendency I think is really prevalent when you love what you do. So again, I'm trying to stay in the grateful part of like, at least I love what I do. I'm not one of those people that like hates going to work. But then there was a shift. There was like chapters, right? It shifted into like, okay, stop having this victim mentality because you're safe, you're fine. You know, you're not an essential worker. You have the luxury to sit around and complain about the fact that you have to like learn how to cook. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, so that took me a minute. And then I was like, just as a human, like just sad every other day or whatever. And then now I've kind of, I don't know what it is. Something shifted. And with like September, which how is it already September? I'm not sure.
No clue, girl.
Came out of nowhere. But all of a sudden we're here and I'm like, oh my God, I am not the same person that I was at the beginning of this. I'm not the same person from April, like going into like, you know, COVID summer. Mm-hmm. I'm not that same person. And I'm glad. I mean, there's so much happening in the world. So much happening in the world within us. And then it's right. Like, how can we be expected not to change? And I think that's good. And I hope everybody feels that way.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
I have a lot to learn.
No, I totally, totally hear what you're saying. And Connor disappeared for a second on the Zoom call.
Where did I go? I was like, all right, that's the podcast. See ya.
No, I totally understand, especially the part about learning to cook. I mean, completely, completely. Now.
Never. My pans, I have like these like beautiful white, this like set of like white pots and pans because they were like gently used, let's say. And they've never really been dirty. And now I'm like, now I understand why people don't buy white ceramic pots and pans. Cause it's not a, like a showpiece. Like you're supposed to use it. Dirty.
Right. Now, six months ago, where were you? Like when the world changed, everything shut down.
I had just gotten back to New York. So I had gone to LA at the end of February. And I remember sitting down with my manager at dinner after this screen test that I was out there for. And he's like, baby girl, this is your last flight. You have an autoimmune disease. I am not allowing you to fly after this. You're getting back to New York and you're hunkering down. And I was like, okay, sure, whatever. And I got back to New York and sure enough, within the next 2 weeks, everything just stopped. And I remember I had a callback actually for a new musical at Telsey. And something I'm very excited about and I've gone in 1,000 times for. And so it was like the final, like, with the directors. I can't say what it is because it's like, that is like a very big situation that's happening in my life, which is very exciting. But, and it was the last day that everything was open. And I remember calling my agent that morning. I was like, is it canceled? Is it not canceled? Because I'm ready. But tell me. and then I went and I got back and that was it. Quarantine started literally the moment I got home from that. But it's, I've been in New York. And then I went down to Miami where my family is and I went to North Carolina. And so I was gone for like a month and a half, mid-June. My birthday's in June, so I went right after that. And
nice,
then,
very nice.
Yeah, and then I came, and then I've been here ever since, really.
Wow. And things are slowly reopening in New York and things are kind of happening again. But I didn't realize you had an autoimmune disease.
Oh yeah, that's been a very interesting factor in all of this, because like the fear is very valid, obviously, for everybody. And in my opinion, just because you don't know what it is, you know, it's like if we had all the answers and you knew what to do and how to treat things and whatever, that, you know, the unknown is more scary than what's known always. So so I think everybody should be cautious and safe and obviously help each other out, because if you can carry it and don't know, then like out of respect and just genuine humanity, like you should care, because you might give it to somebody who might not have the immune system that you have or whatever. So, or the access to healthcare and stuff. Like I've been thinking a lot about that, like the disparities in this country, especially that not everybody has access. Like I know that if I did get sick, I would be cared for. That is not the norm for a lot of people. And right. So it's that perspective and taking that responsibility and whatnot. But it's been interesting having a condition and you know, especially just hearing the rhetoric of like, oh well, it's fine unless you're like sick or old. And I'm like, excuse me, mm-hmm. not everyone sick looks a certain way. Mm-hmm. And also discard those people are not less important than you just because they're sick or old. Like that's ridiculous. That's a horrible way to think and to see the world. So So thank you to everybody who cared.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Okay. So first of all, thrilled to hear that you're maybe going to be stepping onto a stage again when all this happens. We've been waiting. But before we get into like Broadway and all of that, is it interesting being in the midst of like this pandemic and hearing about medical things and healthcare when you were just on New Amsterdam, which is so much to do, like it's in a hospital.
Yeah, I mean, well, so actually that's a very interesting, there was an episode written called Pandemic, and it was going to come out, and the showrunners, who are just incredible, the team is so, they're such great people, so that's very helpful, and I think that's why the show's such a hit, because it really does humanize the medical industry. They ended up having to, like, scratch the episode and kind of, like, figure their strategy because they didn't want it to be as triggering for the audience. So
wow,
on BTS of NBC.
Yeah. So it was about like a pandemic.
Yes.
Wow.
I mean, this had all started in January?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it was already like in the, you know, it was already in our brains.
Right.
And so the writers, you know, the writers' room is pretty much constantly happening. I know they have certain hiatus, but they wrote an episode about a pandemic. And then they were like, you know what? We're not going to air this right now because people are scared. And yet, like, everyone loves drama. I mean, hello, the drama podcast.
Drama,
but like,
that's right.
But, you know, sometimes it's you got to know when to, like, leave the party.
Yeah, that's so interesting. Now, I know you were a recurring cast member on New Amsterdam, right? Dr. Valentina, iconic. Did you get to wrap up your arc, or are you going to continue on in the next season?
So first of all, it's been picked up for 3 more seasons, which is...
Right, I read that.
Unheard of.
Totally unheard of.
With television, but again, it goes to show the writers and the team, they're just brilliant, and the cast. So I am not at liberty to say...
Okay.
Because the last episode in which the world saw Dr. Valentina Castro, there was a very large feud and someone won.
Okay.
So that's where we're at now.
I love that. We're a no spoilers podcast because exactly. we hate spoilers and we don't ever want to ruin something for someone else. So I love that little tease.
So I'm just like, I don't want to say anything.
Yeah. And you were also simultaneously on another NBC series, Sunnyside.
Yeah. So it was a very interesting year because it was like LA 2 weeks, fly to New York, because New Amsterdam shoots here in Brooklyn, and Sunnyside was shooting on the lot in at Universal in LA, in Studio okay. City. It was a very... I'm like best friends with the whole hotel.
Oh, I'm sure.
Universal Sheraton people. Like, I'll get there. Want to pick a room? We'll just tell you what we have available. You can go feel out the vibes and then let us know. Now, after this whole pandemic situation, that won't be the same. But brat. I was like getting to the hotels and they were like, how are you?
And of course we love Joel Kim Booster. Like we will follow him forever. So when you two were on there together, we were like,
You don't even understand. That is, he is, first of all, I think a good comedian has to be brilliant. Because you have to be so quick and you have to be so aware and you have to be able to translate, I think, pop culture in real time. And like his references, his ad libs, his improv skills. Like I am obsessed with Joel Kim Booster. Obsessed. Like the amount of talent on that, it's insane.
I know. It is
amazing.
He's continuing to rise and just blow up. And
he's so hot.
He's so hot.
Out on roller skates, shirtless. And I was here like, I like couldn't stop looking at him. He was like zigzagging through the all over set on roller skates. It was great.
Oh my God. Love it.
Of course, your character was very AOC, like I mentioned earlier.
And I actually based it on her. So I watched the documentary on Netflix on her. Mm. And I kept watching it. And I watched it, the first two times I watched it like with sound on. And then the third time I just watched it on mute and would pause it and try to recreate her expressions. Because I did that a lot with Gloria. So like now I'm like, okay, well now I can't go 50%. I have to go 100.
Yeah.
So I really tried to embody her in certain ways. So thank you. I mean, she's a beast. I mean, AOC is, I mean, queen. So
truly.
We stan
her. I think she's my like true role model at the moment and has been for the last couple of years, but.
So fierce. I think Lynn tweeted once, there needs to be a biopic on AOC and Anna Viafania has to play her. And I was like, someone needs to frame this, send it to everyone, send it to the Academy. I don't know what we need to do, but Lin-Manuel Miranda said it, and it is Bible.
Oh, my goodness.
He can write the music, because it can be a bio musical.
Oh, my God, agreed.
You know?
And oh, my God, I have to tell you, we saw you in my favorite Lin musical, In the Heights.
Oh, my God. Dream and a half. I mean, the cast, the whole. I mean, it was hilarious because when I got the offer, they asked me if I wanted to play Vanessa or Nina. I chose Nina because it was a further step away from On Your Feet. So everybody knowing On Your Feet, I wanted to do more the like park and bark role rather than the like sizzly, like dance around the stage role. Little did I know, Anthony's like a cousin to me now because of that, because we bonded so majorly, but it was just like, it was not only a dream. It was also the weekend it landed on ended up being the March for Our Lives weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And so everyone came to town for that and ended up seeing the show and all these kids, it was so powerful. Like the Saturday where we had two shows on the Saturday and the kids were like literally going to or from the march, or like you would see them in their groups with like their t-shirts and their signs and their posters and stuff. And we're at the Kennedy Center during this like incredibly poignant weekend with all these young people who are literally going to change the world and save us all. And it was amazing. It was amazing.
Amazing. That was us. We came to town for both. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that march was incredible.
It was amazing. Oh, and thankfully, In the Heights added like a Sunday night performance because the whole thing was sold out. Like before the cast was even announced, it was sold out.
It's funny also because it was supposed to be a staged reading. So obviously that ended up being a full out like performance, like a full production of In the Heights. Stephanie Clemens was directing, who of course is from the original cast. And it was, she knew it like the back of her hand. I was actually the only person in the cast who didn't know the show. I had never done it. I had never seen it. I've only obsessed over every single note and like I can dictate to you where they breathe on the cast album. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh girl, same.
Over and over. And like that, like got me through college. But I got to, what a blessing to like get to actually learn the show by doing the show rather than, obviously I was a fan of the music, but like, it's not the same thing. I didn't even know there were words. I didn't know it was not fully sung through like Rent. Or, I mean, so I like learned so much. I was like, oh, there's a script.
Okay. So, oh my God. You were so great. And I think you were truly born for the role of Nina.
Born.
Thank you. It's interesting because Lynn sees me as Vanessa in my life. And I don't, because I just was never that girl. I've always been more of a Nina. And for whatever reason, I guess I'm packaged in a Vanessa.
Hmm. Yeah. Interesting.
Well, of course, Baby V, Vanessa Hudgens was Vanessa in that. And she slayed. I mean, she's good for role. Like, oh my God. She was so good in all the live musicals they do too on TV. Oh my God.
I know. You know what I love about her? She goes full out. We would be like sitting down just reading through or singing through something, and like she just goes for it always. And I love that. I think people really underestimate the amount of work that girl puts in. And I love that. I fucking, oh, sorry.
You can say it. You can say
it. All you want, yeah.
I really respect her. She's awesome. There's a reason, you know, like you look at all these people and like these careers. She started when she was, what, 10? Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, you can't sustain it unless you've got what it takes. And I think this industry can be really hard, especially on women. And the cattiness and the like, oh, like, you know, looking down on people for different reasons and just being extra judgy for no reason at all. And I think that you gotta give credit where credit is due. And I think the more we normalize that, the better for everybody.
Yes.
She's a beast. I love her.
Oh, that's so nice to hear. Because of course we grew up on High School Musical and
of course.
And to see how she has really, like you said, continued, I think hard work does pay off. At every step, she, you know, she had a pop career. She went on to do movies. She does the live musicals. She was in this. I know she was in like the Notebook readings that happened last year. Like she really has kept it going, which is awesome.
So that was that last season or last year's New York Stage and Film, like the developmental where shows go to be born, the little fetus.
At Vassar, right?
I was doing like Water for Chocolate at the same time. And it was like Jelani, Haley Kilgore in the book, like all that. And then with like Water for Chocolate, it was like an On Your Feet reunion and more. It was like, Gabrielle Ruiz from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Love her.
Bea Burns, of course, who, the goddess of my life. who else? Jenny Lee Spadilla. So it was like a big, it's like theater camp. Going to Vassar is like theater camp.
Oh, that's so fun. Oh my God. I smell like a docuseries there. Like,
actually.
That's so fun.
That would be really good.
Can you talk about this show that you were working on out there?
Yes. So we would have actually been going to lab in April. So that was kind of like one of those losses that I was mentioning in the beginning. But it is based on a very, very famous book. It's Mexican folklore. It's magical realism to the nines. And it's a very sensual book. And it's a very, I guess, for lack of a better word, spiritual book, not like spiritual terms of religious. It's very like, it's this woman in, you know, back in the day, Mexico. So even less rights than now, let alone even a voice. And she is struggling with like having to know her place in society because she feels a certain type of way, but she's told to stay in the kitchen and all this stuff. And she has to marry who she has to marry. And she has no choices that she's allowed to make. That's the character I play. Her name is Tita. She's like the narrative kind of revolves around this struggle that she's going through. And she finds power. She eventually like has to learn to find her power through cooking. And so she expresses herself through the cooking. And so like, it's really magical because like the choreography and the whole like world of it is so, it's the act of creation for anything. And how do you put yourself into every molecule of what you make? And what is it translating to people? And how are you able to connect with another person when you can't speak, basically? So it's powerful. I was drained. Like one of the plot points is that she's always crying. Again, I'm not going to give away anything of the show itself, but like the book is the book. So
yeah,
it's very, everybody knows it. There's a movie as well. So this would be the stage adaptation. And obviously it's just, she's always crying. So for me, it was like, oh man. And it goes back to that, like, I can't, the going 50% versus going 100. And I couldn't really just show up at work and mail it in because you can't fake certain things. So it was it was like a cathartic, taxing couple of weeks. But the music's incredible. It's being written by La Santa Cecilia, which is a very, very, I mean, world renowned and like super respected band out of California. And they are just ultimate, like real, just like grit musicians. And so it was really cool to watch. I've seen it once, obviously, with On Your Feet, watching a pre-established band or musician and like having it blend with the world of the mind of a director, the mind of a book writer, the mind of all this stuff. And so I understand what that is. And having to be, as an actor, super adaptable and being able to listen to what the director wants, what the book writer wants, what the original book writer wants, and the band. And so it's like, to marry all of that together and seamlessly deliver for the best, like what serves the story best. And having your own intuition to listen to for that, like your instincts as an actor. And that's been, I mean, it's been amazing. So I'm really excited because the world is going to hear for the first time a little taste of like Water for Chocolate in the Viva Broadway concert coming up in a couple weeks. So
yes,
for that.
Oh my God, that's so amazing. You said it's magical realism. Have you ever read the book, The Brief Wondrous Life of Oscar Wilde?
No, but I'm writing it down right now because I want new books right now.
Yes, it's so good. And I think Lin-Manuel Miranda and Karen Olivo might have done like the audiobook of it.
Wait, can you say the title one more time?
Yes, it's The Brief Wondrous Life of Oscar Wao, and that's W-A-O. It's so good. We'll talk about, I'll send you some other books too, because Connor and I are huge readers, but, and if you're an audiobook person, Lin is involved, I believe, in that.
Yeah, you're right, Dylan. I forgot that he was. Wait, mm-hmm. I have to ask about, before we ask you about your Ring of Keys moment, Anna, wondering, was Lin involved in your In the Heights production directed by Stephanie in DC?
I mean, he was in rehearsal like all the time. I mean,
it's how just fun. Yeah.
He would come by rehearsal, and he came to see the show, of course. But I mean, I feel like Lin is never not involved in anything. but no, I mean, he wasn't involved like technically, no.
Okay.
But he was definitely our hype man, and he would show up and like take pictures and, you know.
That's so fun.
So he was very much our hype man.
Oh, he seems like a hype man. I love that. Oh my gosh. Okay. I've talked about In the Heights ad nauseum on this podcast, so.
And I mean, I welcome that. I have to say though, so you just, it's funny. You just said in passing, you were like, oh, and I think Lin and Karen Olivo did the audiobook. And then when you corrected yourself, you go, Lin-Manuel Miranda. And it's like, it's funny how in this world, like, Lin is Lin, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
Everyone knows that, like, Lin is Lin. But in the beginning, so in 2014, when I came out, actually, it was September. I know this because it's my mom's birthday, not because I'm, like, that crazy, but I am. it was September 29th when I had my On Your Feet, the first audition. And then September 30th was the final one. Very fast process.
And 2014?
Sorry?
Of 2014, you said? Wow, so this was a years-long development.
Yeah. And then I had 2 weeks to move out of my LA apartment and move here to start doing the actual show, which we started rehearsals October 14th. So anyway, I was September 29th, I was at Fuel on 9th Avenue having like a power breakfast.
Yeah.
Or no, I'm sorry, this was the 30th. It was after my first audition. I had gone in, I mean, On Your Feet was my first Broadway audition. I go to Telsey. I was so excited, whatever. I was wearing a leotard and character shoes because I thought that's what you do. And the next day I'm sitting at breakfast and I get a call and they're like, Lin wants to see you because everyone's talking about your audition yesterday and it's been like a thing like through the casting office. And so Lin wants to see you. Can you come in before you go to your final audition for On Your Feet? I'm like, who is Lin? I was like, I don't have time. I'm singing for Gloria Estefan tonight. Who is Lin? Lin-Manuel Miranda. He's working on a new show. It's like about the founding fathers and like they want to see you. And I'm like, okay. And I walked directly to Telsey. And that is when I met Lin. So I went in for Hamilton. And I meet Lin, Alex Lacamoire. Who else was there? I want to say Tommy. I'm not sure who else. I'm not sure. I think I just remember Lin and Alex Lacamoire because obviously, like, I was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. They asked me to sing from my book. And I was like, what book? Because I didn't know what they were talking about. And I was like, I don't know what you mean. And they're like, just sing something you know. And I was like, oh, okay, well, I only have this sheet music here because I'm here for the Gloria Estefan thing, so I can sing the Gloria Estefan stuff, but I don't know if that's what you want. And then they're like, just do you know anything else like musical theater that we could play? And I was like, I know In the Heights. I think I did Breathe. Or no, I did It Won't Be Long Now. And we talk, whatever. It was like, I felt like I was like on fire. I hadn't even warmed up because I just got this phone call. And I walked out and a rumor has it. And he says too, that when I walked out, they were like, well, she can't do Hamilton because she's going to get Gloria.
Wow.
And it was the same season.
And that, yeah. And so that night or that, like a couple hours later is when I went in for my final callback for the Estefans and I got the job that night. Lin called it first and he loves that story. But
I've never heard that story. That's really amazing. What a day.
Yeah, it was quite the day. September, never forget.
Yeah, September 30th. That's amazing. Oh my God. Okay, so I want to get all into On Your Feet, but first I want to ask you a question we ask all of our guests about their Ring of Keys moment, that moment when you realized that you really wanted to be a part of the entertainment industry, the theatrical world, that you understood that performing or music was something, or acting was something you wanted in your life forever. Do you have that moment?
Yes, I do. I have it kind of like in pieces, but the first thing was The Wizard of Oz. I watched The Wizard of Oz. I mean, I grew up watching that movie and I don't remember even the first time I watched it. And we had it recorded on like a VHS tape over something else. So like there were commercials. Like, so I would watch the movie and there was like a McDonald's Egg McMuffin commercial. And there was like a random like car commercial and all this stuff. Because we had recorded it while it was playing TV, mm-hmm. Or on TV rather. And I remember wanting so badly to feel that, like, I mean, this sounds so cheesy, but to feel how she felt coming out of the house when everything's in color.
Mm.
And then I started singing when I was 9. And I was asked to sing at this like national conference for kids with the condition I have. And I sang, ironically, Reach by Gloria Estefan, which is a whole nother, like, the way the universe happens is insane.
That's so wild.
Yeah, and so I sang for the first time in public at this national conference, 9 years old, and I felt that. And I was like, oh my God, wait, this is the Over the Rainbow thing. This is that feeling that, like, I've always, like, seen but, like, couldn't understand and whatever. And I didn't realize I could turn it into like an actual job that was attainable for someone like me until way later. I did my first show kind of by mistake just because I could sing. And I did Joseph in the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat at like a professional, like at a regional equity theater in Miami. By this time I was living in Miami. And I was like, oh wait, these people are actors and you're singing and telling a story and this is everything. And then I just never stopped. And so I would work like throughout elementary school, middle school and high school, I would work at that theater doing shows and stuff. And like, I always felt so cool when like my school, my class, whatever, my entire school would like go on field trips to watch my shows. And I was like, yeah, whatever, fine. Yeah, so I guess I would pinpoint it to say The Wizard of Oz. But it's more than just that. It was that feeling of going from black and white to color that then being on stage finally attained that for me.
Wow.
Oh, that's so special.
As you're talking, I'm thinking about how The Wizard of Oz truly, I think, transcends time.
Oh, yeah.
Everything in it, it can apply to anyone's experience. I mean, the idea of this black and white existence of not really knowing where you belong, where you fit, and for this tragic event to happen, this, you know, in her case, it was a twister.
Right.
But then to wake up and she can finally see color, and she thinks she needs these things to go home, and she meets these other people who think they need these things, but they had it within them all along.
Yeah, it's so beautiful.
Oh, it is amazing. There's a reason that it's persisted, and I mean, there's a reason that Wicked has continued on too, because these universal themes. But I'm also just thinking about you as a young girl singing Reach by Gloria Estefan. Oh my God.
Like, you cannot make that up. And the craziest one, the best part is that I was nervous, obviously. I mean, I had never sang, and I was literally at like the Disney Contemporary Hotel, like for a national thing, like for like a huge event. And I was a little bit nervous. And so I somehow convinced my big sister to dance behind me.
Love that.
It's so great. She was like in this like all white outfit, dancing with like ribbons. Very inspirational. Very.
That's iconic.
It's moving. I'm sure it was very moving. If there's a video out there, I need to see it. But. So and you're also like in Miami, which is also where Gloria grew up, or her childhood was at least.
Yeah, she always puts it best, and she put it best when we first like really talked. It was right before rehearsals started that she and Emilio asked me to come to Miami, or well, they invited me to go to dinner at one of their restaurants on the beach. And I was like, okay. And so I went, and I remember just like, it was just insane to me that I like that it was even real. And when I told her all of that, she was like, oh, it was written in the stars. And so that's what she calls it. That's what she, because it's like all these very strange little things that we had no idea about until I got the job, that it was like, oh, this makes sense. Like, it just makes sense.
Yeah.
Written in the stars. God. Oh, that's so pretty. Oh my God.
Amazing. And you know what? You were so fabulous in On Your Feet. It was the first thing I ever saw you in. And I remember sitting there in the Marriott Marquis, and I was like, I love when you see a new musical with a new star. There's something about it that is just so special to me. And I didn't see Sutton Foster in Thoroughly Modern Millie.
Oh my God.
But as I was sitting there, I think it was the same theater.
Mm-hmm.
I remember thinking like, this is where Sutton Foster became, this was where she became a star. I mean, obviously she had done other things before it, and as you had as well. But I was like, oh my God, this girl, she is Gloria right now. And there is just something about your voice that is so uniquely compelling and beautiful. Oh my God. People give us criticism all the time for like really complimenting our guests, but we love to express like, you know, when we really feel something. And I think that you were amazing. Mm-hmm. We didn't see it with Josh Segarra. We saw the really hot guy. I mean, Josh is really hot.
Hector.
Yes. Oh my God. Both of them were so hot.
I always can tell the stages of like On Your Feet, and even like the feedies is what they call it, like the fans that like.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh yeah. And there's always like chapters based on who was Emilio at the time, because it was just a revolving door. It was great for me. I was just like, who are we in love with today? Great. I'll do whatever. It's like, it was like a buffet.
Truly a buffet. I mean,
Josh is one of my celebrity crushes. I mean, he was so good in AJ and the Queen, if you saw that on Netflix. And he was also in
The Worst Friend in the World.
No, oh my God. I don't think a lot of people watched AJ and the Queen, to be honest with you, but he was also amazing in the other two on Comedy Central, which is moving to HBO Max. He's so good in everything that he does.
Yeah, his career blew up.
Pause. He is arguably, he's one of the best actors I've probably ever worked with. And that's like a very heavy statement. I put him in the caliber of like Isai Morales, of Lupin, of like they have like a very specific intensity. He's an incredible actor. So
amazing.
And I'll accept those compliments for him as well.
I mean, you brought something out in each other clearly, because like from everything that I've read about the chemistry that the two of you had, and it was such a great show. I remember Connor and I sobbing at the Act One finale, which is insane for anyone who's seen the show. They know it's actually a very uplifting number.
We're very emotional Virgos, which is just a troubling, a confusing thing. But
I understand. As a very emotional Gemini, trust me, I accept all.
Yeah, we were so touched, and I was even more moved, which I was talking to Dylan about this earlier, because I was like, I didn't know what the show was truly about, and I didn't know much about Gloria. So when when the bus accident happens, and when you realize, yes, the title of the show is, of course, from the lyric, Get On Your Feet, but then you also realize it's about a woman getting back on her feet after this tragedy, I was so moved, Anna. I mean, I truly was like, I had that moment where I had to like take a deep breath in the theater, because I thought, this is so powerful, and it's true. It's true.
It's funny, because a lot of people would have that reaction, and people would come in, you know, all of our press performances, whether it was Good Morning America, The View, The Parade, all of these, like, mind you, which I list off like it's Whole Foods, but I was like gagged the whole time.
Yeah.
Like The Parade was like my number two bucket list item. And so, so all these things that we would do to promote the show was always the dazzling group numbers, the concerts, because like it was so fun to get to play a rock star and get to like break the fourth wall and be fully in concert as such a, I'm trained in opera. Like my like degree was literally in classical music, and I'm a soprano, and I'm like, and I love theater and Shakespeare and like, you know, Chekhov. Like I'm a little more old school. So to do this like super pop rock star thing was so fun for me. And I got to like live this little weird dream. But then people would come to the show, and always at the stage door, they were like, oh my God, we're not expecting that. It's like, you know, you show up for like the sparkles and the mojitos and the party, and then you get served like some real truths and some real pain and some real drama that actually, in my opinion, at least makes the party even more important. Like, you know, like makes everything about her almost double what it is. So like she's already talented and fierce and fun and you know, as a musician, she's already everything. But then on top, and what she stands for culturally, because she represents an entire group of people, not just Cubans, but like all Latin Americans identify with Gloria Estefan, because she didn't sell out. She never was a stereotype. She would say, no, I'm not going to wear, you know, fruit on my head and a ruffle skirt. I'm going to wear jeans and chaps and a leather jacket, because this is the 80s and like I'm cool and normal. You don't have to put me in a box just because I speak Spanish and I'm from Cuba. So that is such a huge element of her story. And then add to it the personal, you know, the personal life and the struggles with her mother, and add to that the human side of getting into this car crash and almost being paralyzed. And it's like, it just makes it. I love the way that it was done, because it really did give people the opportunity to be surprised. And I could feel when the crash happened, every time I could feel the audience gasp. Mm-hmm. We also didn't have a pit, because the band was on stage with us, which was interesting, but Miami Sound Machine on stage. So we didn't have a pit. So the first row was like, I mean, pretty much the distance from me to my screen right now. So so I could feel when someone would recognize a song, or when someone would have that gasp moment with the accident, or like an awe when, like, you know, when the baby would come out, or when Emilio and I would do something or whatever.
Yeah.
It's a very interesting shock for everybody.
It was such a well done show, and you've obviously said it so eloquently, but I find that sometimes when the people who the show are about, in this case, the Estefans had such a hand in it. Uh-huh. Sometimes it can be a little edited or biased in a certain way. And I think we've seen that with some other bio musicals, but this was so raw and real, and they seemed like they weren't afraid of hiding anything. And the product was so wonderful.
Thank you. They're very legit, and they also didn't have to be as open. Like, I know things I should not know for sure. I had videos she sent me. She gave me all of their home movies because I love the study of people. Like, that's like my thing. That's why I like acting. And she like gave me home movies. I've like literally watched like the video of her on the way to the hospital to give birth to Emily. Like I know everything about these people to a level that is like weird. But Alex Dinalaris, who wrote the book, did a really good job of straddling that, of somehow, you know, you can't put their whole life into 2.5 hours. But he did a good job of like figuring out what was needed and what, I mean, he's just good writers are just good writers. I don't know. You can't really pinpoint it, but so the blend of him trying to keep it real and doing it more cinematic, and then Jerry and the showmanship, it was like this magical explosion that I just got to be. I felt like a little Barbie in their dollhouse, and I got to just like experience that. And it was really, really cool.
Master. I love it.
So,
yeah. What would you say, and then we can move on to our next thing, but what would you say your biggest takeaway from playing Gloria was? I know you're a few years removed from it now. Did you learn like the biggest lesson maybe?
Oh my God. I guess the biggest would be there are two. One, Emilio always tells me the same thing. He's always like, you need to enjoy it. You need to enjoy what is happening. So that was something I had to train myself for, because I tend to be very much a workhorse. They'd be like, you need to take a day off. You need to like do something. Like, you need to enjoy what is happening right now, because you're never going to get it back. So that's one. But the other one, honestly, I didn't know what I was capable of. I didn't know I could do what we ended up doing and what I ended up doing. And I think that was a big one, because the first day of rehearsal, I got back to the apartment that I was given, like they were putting me up for the lab. And so I was all excited at first, whatever. And then rehearsal started, and all of a sudden I'm learning choreography alongside Tenari Vasquez and Nina Lafarga and Marielis Molina and Liz Ramos. And I'm, you know, Sergio Trujillo's yelling at me, and I didn't know what to do. And I'm like, oh my God, I can't do this. So I really, I thought I had bitten off more than I could chew. I was like, I know I can act. I know I can dance. But like the dance, I know I can act. I know I can sing. But this dancing situation, and like, this is just a little overwhelming. And also, I mean, I got to New York with like the dream role, and everybody knew who I was. And it was this weird, like, it was very overwhelming. I moved here by myself. I didn't know anybody in New York. I had never lived in New York. So it was a lot all at once. And that night I was about to quit. I called my mom and I was like, I don't think I can do this. And she's like, if you don't think you can do it, then say that. And I'm sure they have like a backup and whatever and all this stuff. And weirdly, my ex boyfriend, like my boyfriend at the time, this was 2014. Like, how many, come on. But once upon a time, he was like, just give it one more try. And tomorrow go in and just pretend you can do it. Like, pretend, like wear heels, do your hair, do whatever you need to do to like feel powerful, and like fake it till you make it. And I was like, that's really weird advice. But I walked in with a different, because I'm very like, oh my God, I'm just excited to be here. Like, that's like my vibe. And so despite what anybody else thinks. And so I had to kind of, you know, like Beyonce has that like Sasha Fierce thing that she's into for concerts. And so like I went in and was for that second day, and I was like more like kind of standing my ground instead of being like, oh, I have no idea what I'm doing in this room. And it eventually just worked. It was weird. There was a moment where it stopped being fake. And so I had to convince myself that I could, and then all of a sudden I was doing it. And then all of a sudden I didn't call out for 8 months. And then all of a sudden the Wall Street Journal is saying all these things about how I was, you know, like how I wasn't like that. They were, you know, people start talking about how I wasn't ever not there.
Yeah.
It was a very interesting, and then 3 years later, like, I'm still there, you know? So it was interesting that I didn't think I could do it. I also grew up with it, again, going back to the disability thing. Like, I grew up in and out of a wheelchair. I grew up, like, I take a lot of medication. I, like, I'm very, your mind, if you're told constantly that you can't, and if you're told constantly that, like, you are unable to do things, or that you're not strong, or that you're in a category of people that can't do things, it's going to seep in there, you know? Like, and so it took me a minute to learn that I could.
Oh my God, that is incredible. You're amazing. And I think everyone can learn something from that. We're capable of more than we think. It goes back to Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz.
Yes, always.
You have it within you. You just have to recognize it and push on, you know? That's amazing.
I am so moved by your story. And I'm like, I need her to do a TED Talk. I hope that everyone listens to this and takes something from it, because I did not even realize a lot of that. And that, thank you for sharing. That's so amazing and admirable.
8 months, never calling. Oh my goodness. I get like a slight tickle in my throat and I'm like canceling all my plans for the whole rest of the day. Or I'm like just a little bit hungover and I'm like, I can't go on. Can I go into work late? Oh my God. Okay. I also have to say, as we're sitting here, I'm like, I really am missing in-person experiences right now. I feel like the energy is just so amazing. I wish we were together IRL. But Okay. Anyway, as we are wrapping up, we like to end on a dose of drama, something that's on our minds, maybe related to this conversation, related to something we've been doing in recent times. There's been so much going on. And whether or not you're feeling dramatic today, we all have a little bit of drama in our hearts. So I'm going to kick it off today, because there is something I'm feeling dramatic about. You know, I got up early this morning and I took an online indoor cycling class, which was so fun. I'm such a fanatic for indoor cycling. And, you know, I'm watching this, it was a live one too. So there were 4 people in this class, and there was, you know, they were all socially distant and the instructor's up there. And there was a really hot guy in the class. Okay. And I was like, you know what? I miss being in an 8 a.m. spin class and looking over at this really hot guy who's like a little scruffy, but like great arms, and you don't know each other. And you're like, oh my God, this is my gym crush. And then I was thinking, I also miss having a work crush. I miss having a crush on the pharmacist at, you know, at the CVS on 57th. And I am just like, I miss having a crush Rolodex for my everyday life. And I'm so sad that that's gone away in the last 6 months, especially the gym crush thing. So I'm feeling dramatic, and I'm hoping one day I can have a gym crush again.
I stand by that. Also, the CVS on 57th is like the Disneyland of CVSs, but...
Mm-hmm. You know, I went for that one, even though there's no one there that I find to be hot.
I don't think the pharmacist there is hot.
No. But it's the one where I do pick up my medication.
That's the CVS with the big escalators, right?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Like a Whole Foods.
It is. Wait, also, do you guys think Robert Pattinson's hot? I've been like waiting this whole time to ask.
I was listening to what you were saying, and I like my Robert Pattinson as a Ravenclaw.
Ooh, back in his Hogwarts days.
So he lost me a little
or
bit.
Or Hufflepuff. Hufflepuff.
Is he Hufflepuff? Oh my God, I'm so sorry.
I think he's Hufflepuff. Yeah.
Right, he's in yellow. I like my Cedric Diggory. So
yes. Oh my God.
That's my chosen Robert, you know?
I get it.
I love it.
A Robert for all seasons, honestly.
Robert for all seasons, yeah. And I think, honestly, Cedric is fall.
Ooh.
Definitely.
Ooh. Yeah.
You're right. Dylan or Anna, a dose of drama today?
I can go next. We can end with Anna. We can end with Anna. So I have, you know, my reality shows that I watch to keep me, you know, I like to think of myself as an intelligent person. So I need to unplug with some mindless TV. And I have been a Big Brother watcher for the last maybe, oh gosh, since BB16, which was 2014. And so this is an All-Stars season. The show is riddled with internal racism and problems that have arisen over the last couple of years. Obviously, with everything that's been happening in the world, like this call to arms and us all becoming more anti-racist, it's really opened my eyes to the way that this show operates, that there might be one Black person or one Latin person on there. And the deck is always going to be stacked against people of color on this show. And I thought, okay, we are in this reckoning. This season of All Stars is going to be the year that they fix their problems. The first person eliminated was a woman. The second person eliminated was a woman. The third person was a woman of another woman or a man of color. Everyone who has been eliminated has either been a person of color or a woman. And I am just like, this show will never, it is a perfect example of what is wrong with our country and with racism in the world and sexism in the world. And I am feeling so dramatic about it because I get so damn invested every year, but it is so problematic. And I need to just stop watching. I mean, just this past week, the only two Black women in the house were nominated to be eliminated next to each other on the chopping block. And the reasoning behind why they were nominated was ridiculous, when in reality, it was just they were viewed as a pair who were weaker than the rest of the group because this white woman who nominated them was probably feeling threatened. And I am just, I'm tired of watching these microcosms of the world at large that just play out the problems that we see. And I want to stand for something and try and make a change. And so I'm saying right now that I'm stop watching Big Brother. Cut to me a week later, I'm still watching. But I am going to stop watching the show if it continues to be this way.
Wow. A, I've never seen it. But B, if you want mindless television with no consequence and with no, like, I am all about the baking shows.
I need to do it. I need to do those.
You know, report back to me, email me, do whatever you need to do.
I will.
I can assure you it is so therapeutic because there is no consequence. Like, there's nothing wrong with, like, the worst thing that could happen is someone makes an underbaked cake. Right now in the world, that's what I do to, like, let my mind go in from right here in this room, which is the living room / gym / home office / everything. So if that's helpful. I'm feeling, you know, we touched on this in the beginning and I actually had a different answer originally in my mind, but now for whatever reason, just because I'm going to bring it up. The new Mulan. I loved it. I loved it. I loved it, period. And I still think that the music supervisor could have injected a few more of those musical motifs that we know and love. Like, I wanted Let's Get Down to Business to defeat the Huns. You know what I mean?
Yes.
They gave me like a tiny bit. They gave me some reflection when she's like stepping into her power. And they gave me some You'll Bring Honor to Us All when she's getting ready to see the matchmaker. But I kid you not, it was like 8 bars.
Mm.
And that wasn't enough for me. I understand where they went with the film. It was beautiful. It's also hugely important and everybody needs to watch it. It's so good. And especially for, like, I mean, it was very, it was even more hitting the nail on the head in terms of like female empowerment, which I am all about. And it was just beautifully done in that regard. I just needed a little bit more massaging for the musical theater kid in my heart who still missed the little talking dragon and like the show, you know, the numbers, the production numbers.
And the cricket.
The cricket.
Don't forget the cricket and the grandma.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, is she not in it?
Grandma's out.
Well, they have a new female elderly, like a woman who's like a witch. It's not like a spoiler. She's like a witch that they kind of put into the story.
Well, I can't tell you what happens there, but...
Yeah. No spoilers on drama.
I needed grandma. I needed the cricket. I needed Mushu. I needed a little singing number. But it's fine. I get it. They did what they went for the real. But I did need a little palate cleanser afterwards. You know, a little musical moment. So...
And I expect music out of Disney. And when I saw the trailer for Mulan, the beautiful orchestral reflection that played gave me full body chills. It was an amazing trailer. And so I was hoping there was more of that.
Like, here's the movie, here's reflection. Like, it was like a little, and you had to really know what you were listening for and know where to find it. But it was, that made me sad. It's still incredible. I just would maybe watch it and then watch the animated.
Okay, deal, deal. I know, that's the thing. The source material for those movies, I mean, I felt that way after Aladdin. The source material for those movies is so strong that the live action adaptations are just, they're just different.
You know what though? I liked Aladdin. I think Aladdin was more true to the animated film. Mm-hmm. It was the animated film, but in real life. And then they added the one song for Princess Jasmine. But like,
speechless, yes, speechless. Yeah.
Which was like a random, like,
pop song.
It was like, so random.
It was full pop. Like, you could hear Demi Lovato singing it on the radio. Yes,
absolutely. That's exactly what it was. And it was like, it was filmed like a music video, I felt, in that part. It's like a weird, it was like an intermission. But anywho, but I, you know what? It just didn't give me what I needed. And that's okay.
That's okay.
Was the new Lion King.
I know. 100%. I know. I was, this is condemning, but I was bored.
Ooh, and that's tough because it was literally the original just done, I mean, done again. But don't tell me that it was done live action because it wasn't. Because Lion kept up. Stop telling me that it was live action when it wasn't. You know what I mean? Like, Homeward Bound.
That is like,
do not tell me. Not tell me that the live action.
It makes me wonder and worry for Little Mermaid, and I'm wondering how that's going to be.
Yeah, but Lin, going back to Lin, is at the helm of that.
Okay, then it'll be fine.
So I don't worry.
Oh my god!
I was so obsessed with the Little Mermaid that I don't think he would ever. And plus, now isn't David doing Sebastian?
Yes.
No, I think we're going to be fine with that one. Also, that whole backlash when
Halle Bailey.
Yeah, when Halle got cast and everyone's like, how dare they, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you're saying you're being racist for no reason because mermaids aren't real. I hate to call this out to people who were like, well, but the real Ariel was white and redheaded. And I'm like, the real Ariel is a mermaid and mermaids are not a thing. So you need
Yeah. I mean, and not to pivot too much, but Halle and her sister Chloe are killing it.
Oh my god, they're so good. I listen to
my god
all the time. When I'm like getting ready and need to feel like cute, especially, it's like really rare these days, but if I need
when you're like gonna go maybe, you know, take a cute selfie, you know what I mean?
Like, they're like Whole Foods.
Yeah. You never know who you'll meet at Whole Foods.
You never know.
Oh my god, Anna, you're so fun. This has been such a blast. I'm sorry we took a little more time than we planned, but
I thought I've had a great time. I feel like we've just had like brunch.
I love it. We were just missing some like mimosas.
Yes, exactly. We're missing all the champagne and all like an eggs benedict, but it's fine. I'm having green.
There you go.
Amazing.
Now I know that everyone can follow you at Anna Villafañe Official on Instagram, right? And it's at AANAVEE on Twitter.
Yes, Anna V. It's so random and it's so old, but we were like, well, can't go back now.
Right. And then, of course, everyone can tune into this Viva Broadway concert as well, right?
Broadway will be airing on Playbill, and I think that's like the main streaming platform, but it'll be on October 1st, and it is going to be just a potpourri of stars. I'm so excited. It's like everyone from Karen Olivo, Robin De Jesus, Josh is going to do an intro, Gloria, myself. You're going to get to hear a little bit of like Water for Chocolate, which is my next musical. So I'm so excited. Also, I mean, all of the cast of In the Heights is reuniting. It's being hosted by Andrea Burns. Sergio Trujillo's directing. Eric Ulloa is writing the whole script out. It's really, really cool. And you also get to hear like the new Kiss My Aztec from John Leguizamo.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, so there's going to be a lot of stuff, and it's going to track kind of the Latin history of theater and of Latin representation in theater, but it's also going to just be a huge celebration of culture and, like, oneness and people being exactly who they are, which is exactly what we need right now.
Oh my god! We'll be posting about it and sharing because we'll be tuning in live and tweeting along and everything. So,
you October 1st.
Yes.
All right.
And follow me at Connor McDowell.
And me at Dylan McDowell. And Anna, we need to talk offline because I just had a vision of you as Morales in the A Chorus Line Ryan Murphy project. And we'll discuss. Okay. And everyone?
Cannot wait.
All right. And Connor, I'll see you next time.
Drama.